We are in the beginning of Daniel, Perek Yud Aleph, Pasuk Pasuk Hay. That is where we're up to. Perek Yud Aleph Pasuk Hay. Vayechzak Melech Hanegev Umin Sarav. Okay, so we are continuing the prophecy, the vision of what's going to happen during the time of Yavan. Pretty much here, Daniel is standing here in the end of Paras, the third year of Melech Paras. Well, not the end of Paras. And we're going to have, we mentioned there are going to be four kings, which are really five kings. We start off with Koresh, then we have Koresh's son, which Rashi mentions, and then we have another, the battery is very, very low. The battery is just about out. We have Koresh, we have Koresh's son, Achashverosh, Daryovish, then Esther, and then possibly another son. That's what we discussed two days ago, Pasuk Dalit, with regard to the three kings, and then the fourth king. He'll become extremely wealthy, and he'll use all of his wealth to fight his enemy being Alexander the Great, Alexander of Macedonia, and then he will fail, even though he will make an attempt to make peace and to relinquish significant portion of his malchus. Alexander the Great will not accept, and they will be defeat. Alexander the Great will conquer, and he will control the world. And then suddenly Alexander the Great will die, and the Malchus will be divided, thank you very much, into four parts. More than four parts. Fine. Now Pasuk Hay. Vayechazak Melech Hanegav Umin Sarav. Now, I want to warn you, the next series of psukim to the end of this parak are extremely, extremely difficult. And all of the Mepharshim try to superimpose history into the psukim. We look at history. Now, the knowledge of the history is sketchy. Some of the Mepharshim have access to better records than others. So some are very vague, some more elaborate, and the words of the psukim are not clear, and you can interpret the psukim in many, many ways. There is no one single clear interpretation how to read history into what the psukim refer to. We're going to learn pretty much, according to the Mepharshim, that we're going to learn the Mitzudos and Rashi, make it very, very simple. Maybe for here and there, we'll bring in a few more things, but we'll try to be as vague as possible, because it's really not easy. The basic idea, what we're going to lay out in the next couple of psukim, is there are going to be a series of wars between the Syrian Greeks and the Egyptian Greeks. The Syrian Greeks are known as the North, and the Egyptian Greeks are known as the South. And for the next 100 years, good morning. For the next 100 years, there are battles, constant battles between the two, and Eretz Yisrael is caught in the crossfire. Now the truth is, when you look at history from the perspective of secular history, and you even look at a lot of this is discussed in Farshim with regard to Hanukkah. A lot of the books that describe the history of Hanukkah, they make mention of the events that are going to occur here in the psukim, but not in such great detail. And the difficulty is, why is Daniel telling us about these events? Seemingly, they don't have any relevance for Klal Yisrael. It's a very difficult point, because when you study the history of Hanukkah, there are many books that describe in detail the history of Hanukkah. Everything is focused for what's in it for us. There was Antiochus IV, and there was Talmai, and there were different kufas during that 50-year period, and everything relates to how it affected the Beis Hamikdash. There were 3 years where the Beis Hamikdash was basically shamim, was basically shut down. It was under the complete control of the Syrian Greeks. And there were wars. There was Yehuda HaMakbi with his brothers, and there was Matisyahu, and there was a series of wars, and after the miracle of Hanukkah, one brother, one at a time, was killed, and different battles to go about, 10 battles after Hanukkah, after the miracle of the oil, until the end of the Tkufa when they had autonomy. And each one of those battles, one of the five brothers died. Tragedy, and everything relates back to Klal Yisrael. When you study the history of Hanukkah, at least the way it's presented by a lot of the very popular, and there are many of them, the books that describe the miracle of Hanukkah. But here, you don't get that. You don't get that when you read these psukim. It just sounds like there are wars going on between the north and the south. And where Klal Yisrael fits into the big picture of things is left out of the equation, which begs us to ask, so why are we being told this? Are we being told what's going on at this point in time in America? Are we being told what's going on at this point in time in all the European countries and the cities and islands? And every country has a long history, a complex history with wars and accomplishments and failures and struggles. But it's not taught to us. It's not at least it's not presented in the Sifrei Tanakh because it's not relevant for Klal Yisrael. There is no lesson for us to know for the future. So why then is this detailed history about what took place between the north and the south, different segments of the Yevanim, why is it presented and it's not clear? So I want to leave you, just keep that point in mind, this enormous amount of detail which is left out and it's presented here, but let's see.
It's a vision, though.
It's a vision, so the vision has been told to the Neil.
Of the Neil.
Yes.
And that's something that we need to know.
But why? What's the message?
Do we have a reason for everything that HaKadosh Baruch Hu puts into
there is a reason for everything, but there is in Tanakh is limited. Tanakh is not world history. Everything in Tanakh is limited to what we need to know how to conduct ourselves for the future. And the details here are not obviously telling us a message that relates to us. It's something which has to be further studied and understood. But the Pasuk begins by telling us, "Vayechzak Melech HaNegev u'min Saraf." Now, it's very hard how to translate the word "min Saraf." Basically, means that the Melech HaNegev, after it was split, so Talmai, the Egyptian Greeks became much more powerful than the Syrian Greeks. We know Pasuk. We know the Syrian Greeks from the miracle of Hanukkah. That was about 100 years later when the Syrian Greeks dominated. But that did not happen right away. The domination first took place, was done through the Egyptian Greeks. Umin Sarov. Now, what does it mean, Umin Sarov? So let's right away jump to the Mitzudas David, Pasuk Hey. I mean, we probably all the Mitzudas David, because it's very difficult. Umin Sarov. Who are Moilech be Mitzrayim? The Melech HaNegev is the king that ruled in Mitzrayim. V'ratzolaymar, sheyischazik hu al bal milchamto. He will prevail over his enemy. Who is the enemy of the Melech HaNegev? Talmai, who Melech HaTzavon? He is the king of the north. Hamafurish lamata beinyan vuhu hamoylech beRoma. This was the king that ruled over Rome. The king that ruled over Rome at this point in time appeared to have ruled all over. Also, it's not clear. I don't know.
Doesn't make sense.
You're right. Okay, you're right. I don't know. The Abarbanel? Okay, you're right. Absolutely, you're right. I don't know the answer. The Abarbanel and the Malm clearly do not learn like this Mitzudos. They learned that the Melech HaTzafon refers to Syria, not in reference to Rome. So we'll take bits and pieces from here and here because it's not clear. Everything is not clear, but he will prevail.
Is Egypt the southernmost?
Egypt is the Negev. Correct,
yeah.
That's the Negev. But who's the Tzafon?
Yeah, right.
Who's
the
Nafon? So the Mitzudos here, the series saying refers to Rome, but we're going to assume for the moment to make things similar refers to Syria. Next words, and these words are hard words. Umin Sarov. So the Mitzudos, all the Mepharshim struggle how to translate these words and over his princes. Ki ilu Omar. Min Melech HaTzafon Umin Sarov. You have to add words. So you go back to the Pasuk. Vayechzak Melech HaNegev. The Melech HaNegev prevailed over, in other words, over the Melech Tzafon Umin Sarov. The king of the south prevailed upon the king of the north and the officers of the north. It wasn't just a king. The king had generals and officers and assisted the north, and the southern king was stronger and more powerful.
That doesn't add very much.
Okay, but that's how they if you look at them before, okay, let's leave with that. Ki ilu amar min melech hatzafon umin sarov. Asher yilchamu imo, which fought a battle battle against the south. V'chum mikra kotzar. It's a pasuk which has missing words. It's a style of writing. We were mekatzer. V'yuvan me'atzmo, and it's self-understood. Now, it's a mouthful, because all the other mefarshim don't learn like that. They take the word of minzer, and they have an entirely different interpretation, which we're not going to discuss now. Let's go further. V'yechazak, back to the pasuk. V'yechazak alav u'moshol. Mimshol Rav Memshalto. Now, what does that mean? So, look at the mitzvahs. V'yachazak alav Rutzlaimar. The Esa Mulcham. At the time of the war, Yechazak alav. V'achar ze yimshol bo v'lo yelech mimenu v'zman Rav yihye Memshalto. Now, according to the words of the mitzvahs, it would simply be a continuation. Who is the one that is in charge? The one that is winning at this point in time is the south. There is a war between the Egyptian Greeks and the Syrian Greeks. The Egyptian Greeks initially will prevail, and the king will prevail upon the king of the north and the Sarim. Vayechazak alof. It's a continuation. And the king of the south will become strong. Umashol will rule. Mimshol Rav. A very powerful domination. Memshalto. His kingdom. His authority. His domination will be extremely powerful. He will prevail upon the north. Unfortunately, according to the historical accounts, it's just the opposite. It's just the opposite. That the one that prevailed initially, there was a civil war. And after the first sets of wars, the one that prevailed was the north, not the south. And that's why many Mepharshim take the pasuk, they say Umin Sarav is referring not a continuation of Vayechazak Melech HaNegev. But you have to put a comma. Vayechazak Melech HaNegev, period. But Umin Sarav, but some of the Sarim of the Melech HaNegev rebelled, which includes Antiochus the First. Antiochus the First originally was a general of Talmai HaMelech, the first Egyptian Greek king. He had a general. His name was Antiochus, and Antiochus was Umin Sarav. He escaped. He rebelled, and he went to control his part of the world. And eventually, he found himself fighting, joining the North. Sounds like the Civil War in America, yes. The North and the South. And he found himself fighting his original king, the one who he was originally loyal to, and he prevailed upon him. And he became the leader of the north, and he conquered the south. Vayechazak Allah refers to the Min Sarav, which refers to one of the princes who used to be a prince of the south, who broke away from the south, joined the north, and this prince now prevailed upon the king of the south, Umoshol, and he ruled, he dominated, Mimshol Rav, Mimshalto, and his authority, dominance, was extremely powerful. Okay, so similar over here means we have over here, what we need to take out of the basic gist of this pasuk is that Alexander the Great dies, his malchus is divine to four plus parts. The two major parts of his malchus was the north and the south, and there was a series of wars between the two, and that went on for a period of time. Pasuk Vav, what happened? They decided to make peace. How would they make peace? Ulekeit Shonim, after a number of years, at the end of the years, Yischabaru, the north and the south, the Egyptian Greeks and the Syrian Greeks made peace. How do they join together? Through marriage. Ubas Melech HaNegev, the agreement was that Talmai's daughter, the king of the Egyptian Greeks, would give his daughter in marriage to Antiochus the First, to the king of the north, of the Syrian Greeks. Ubas Melech HaNegev, Tavo will come El Melech Hatz, and this is recorded, this is historically true. And the daughter of the Melech HaNegev, Tava, will come El Melech HaTzafon to the north, La'asos Me'sharim, and this will be for the purpose of making peace. Again, we're reading it according to one interpretation. There are many other interpretations and the many versions of what happened, the historical accounts, and you can read into the pasuk. But the simplest understanding is that after a period of wars, the Egyptian Greeks and southern Syrian Greeks joined together. They made peace, and the peace was done through the marriage of the Egyptian Greek's daughter to the king of the Syrian Greeks. But it's not going to work. It's not going to last. V'loi sa'atzor koyach hazaroya. Now, sa'atzor means to hold back. Koyach hazaroya, there are many interpretations, but we'll learn means violence. This alliance, this marriage, did not hold back the violence that would ensue, would continue later on. It was a temporary halt in the violence. temporary truce. The lo yisatzar, this plan of marriage, will not hold back the koyach hazaraya, the mighty arm. Mighty arm here is a metaphor for violence. V'lo yamod uzeroo, and it will not. So this is hard words to translate, which basically we're going to translate this to mean that the arm will not be withheld. The arm, it's poetic repetition. It just repeats the same theme of lo yisatzar koyach hazaraya, v'lo yamod uzeroo. The vav of Uzro appears to be extra. It's part of the style of writing to add sometimes extra vavs. And you can read it, lo yamod zero. The might will not be withheld. It will not stand. It will go forth. Violence will go forth. There will be wars. And what will happen? This woman who will be the daughter of Antiochus will be killed. She will be murdered, assassinated. She will be given over. Not only her. She meaning her and those that brought her. When she came to marry when she came to the north to marry the king of the north, she came with an entourage. She didn't come alone. She was probably a very young girl. She was we would say the bas mitzvah. And she came with a whole team of people. He, she, entourage, umivieha, Rene, umivieha, those who brought her, the Hayolda. Now, Hayolda simply means her father. Now, can I here mean her father? Because her father was the king. And her father was not killed at this point in time, but it means her foster father, the one, her main advisor, the one who actually raised her. Kings did not raise their own children. They had nannies and other different types of people in charge. So umi, the hayolda literally means the one that gave birth to her. But here again, does not mean literally the one that gave birth. It means the one that raised her. Umachazik boitim, and the one umachazika boitim, and the one that takes hold of the times. Which in this context means it means stargazers, but it's another term which refers to the people who looked after her welfare. They were all murdered. They were all killed in one of the battles that took place between the north and the south. The north and the south, they thought there would be peace. They would make peace through marriage. The daughter of the south would marry the king of the north. It did not work out. They were married for a short period of time, but a war broke out, and in the process of the war, the queen, this girl, was killed with her entire retinue. Let's see the pasuk to the Mesudas.
This is
200 years before the Chorban of the Bayis Sheni. This is towards the beginning of the Bayis Sheni. The beginning of the Bayis Sheni is when all of this happened. How does this relate to Klal Yisrael? Why do we need to know this? It's not clear. Let's see the Mitzudas Pasuk Vav. Ulekeit Shanim, Ulesoif Shanim Harbei. After many years of fighting, Yischabu Yachad BeAhava VeShalom. There will be peace, love and peace. Ratzulamar. The leaders will want peace. Lasos meshem. What does it mean? They'll want to make meshem. Meshem means to be straight. Yashar means to be peaceful. Lefasher, to make peace, to make a compromise. Bein avio ubein melech hatzafon, between her father, which is the king of the south, the Egyptian king, ubein melech hatzafon, bedivrei rivayisam, in their quarrels. They'll want to even out all of the quarrels between the two. And what will they do? They will propose marriage. And if there'll be marriage, then we have a joint interest in the grandchildren, so therefore, everything will be peaceful. But v'lo yitzasa, v'lo yitzatzar, avol, but what's going to happen? Lo sucha la'akev koyach hazroya. It's not going to be able to withhold the koyach hazra, means the mighty power. Zeroya means might. The arm is a symbolic of power. Limnoya, to withhold, mibeinehem hamiyoas she'oin. That means a great commotion. It's not going to be able to restrain commotion. Hamilchoma of war, v'hanitzachon, and the success in war, battles. It's not going to work. V'lo yamod, and it's not going to stand. Avol b'pamahi, at that time, lo yamod, melech ha-negev al-amdo. Okay, now, the way he's interpreting v'lo yamod is going to be, the war will break out. And what's going to happen is, the southern king will fall. He will not be able to maintain his own. Anshei Zero, those his strong men, his warriors, the Oizrav, those that come to his assistance, Gam him lo yamu b'mucham ahahi, and he will be conquered. The Tinos, and he will be delivered b'yad melech tzafon, he, who is he? Bas melech hanegev, umivyecho, him hasarim shehivyu oisa, v'holchu imo kodim ha-mucham el melech tzafon lasos mesharim, v'hayolda, he avia melech hanegev. So here the way the Mitzvah stones very simply is, in that in this war, which will occur at a later point in time, the king of the south will be killed. There will be a war between the north and the south. Even though the daughter of the south has been married to the king of the north, doesn't matter. This queen will be killed with her father. V'hayoleda means the one that gave birth to her, which the Mitzudos is translating, not like all of the other Mefarshim, he's translating it to mean literally, the king will be killed by the north. U'machazika buitim, heim itztagninim ha'machazikim oisa, these are the astrologers. Like advisors, like your cabinet. So in ancient times,
your counselors,
the way they would tell you what to do. It's not through getting a doctorate in Harvard, in Yale. That was not that. If you know how to read, look into the stars. That's where the solution comes from. So that those were her advisors. The atzdagnignim hamachzikim osa b'chaydas pulbulas u'itim lufim mahalach hakachavim. Okay, so let's review the pasuk. According to them, just one more time. Pasuk vav. Ulekeitz hashanim. After a series of wars between the north and the south, yischabo, they will join forces. How? They will join forces by getting married. Bas melech hanegev tavoy el melech hatzafon lasos meisharim. But it's not going to work. It's not going to provide a solution. It will not hold back violence. Period. And then according to the Mitzudos, there will be, we have to add a couple of words in, there will be a war, another major war between the north and the south, and the one that's going to lose the war will be the south. And the king of the south will not be able to hold his own. He will be conquered. And not only will he be conquered, his military, his mighty force will be conquered, his might, all of his army, the support system of the southern king will be conquered. And what will happen? What will be the consequence? His daughter and her entire entourage will be killed. The Sinos and he, Umivyecha, those that cared for her, those who brought her to the north, Vehayolda, and her father, which simply means the king of the south, will be Machazika Buitim, her advisors, those that took hold of the times. They looked into the stars, and they would predict what will happen in the future, and through these predictions, they would give advice to her what to do. They will all be given over to the military of the north, and they will all be killed. Okay, let's see Rashi, Pasuk Vav. Rashi is not necessarily like the Mitzudos. Rashi is much more midrashic, and it's not necessarily true to history. Rashi sometimes jumps around and takes a pasuk and goes 200 years ahead. So it's not, a lot of these things are not clear. Again, it's a very difficult psukim. Lasos meisharim. She will attempt to make peace between her and her father. Between the king of the north and her father, the king of the south. But it's not going to work. The Yilkidena, Melech HaTzafon, the end will be that she will be captured by the northern king. And those that... So he, the Rashi, learns Machazika Bu'ita means those that's her support system. The people that support you are there in your hard times. People that are only there for you in the good times are not your true supporters. People that are there in the difficult times are your true supporters. And that's how Rashi learns the word Machazika Bu'itim. It's a very powerful description. Machazika Bu'itim. Here she will be given over to, she will fall in war. Who will fall? She, Umivyeha, Vihayolda, Umachazika Bu'itim, her supporters. Who are her supporters? The people that are with you, Bu'itim, at all times. All times include the good times and the bad times. Not like what it says in the Mitzudos, Machazika Bu'itim means her advisors. Why are they her advisors? Because they look into the stars and they tell her what to do. Two very different interpretations for the Machazika Bu'ita. Okay, next words in Rashi. V'lo satzar, Zeroya Mivia. The might will not be withheld. Mevia koyach lamod lufana v'lohu v'loy zroho heim gibori koychoy. So he learns that the military, so Rashi is learning not like the Mitzudos, right. He is learning that something terrible will happen, And v'loisatzar koyach hazeroa, that she will not be able to, the military will not be able to save her. Zeroa mivieha, the might of the people who have brought her here, the people who have her, the military, the security entourage, will not be able to save her. The mighty people who have brought her to the northern king will not be able to koyach, have enough strength to withstand lefanav lo hu v'lo zero'o heim gibori koychoi v'sinosen biad melech hatzafon he, she'll be given over umivyecho v'hayolda hu aviha, and her father also will be given over into the hands of the north. So the basic idea is that there's going to be an attempt to make peace through marriage, and it's not going to work, and there's going to be more violence, there's going to be more wars, and at this point in time the one that will prevail will be the north, and the south will fall.
It's understood that entourage wouldn't be able to support her, because they're not having a small group be able to machazika sore among.
But we see today that there are political reasons why you wouldn't want to harm important people, right. Even today's times. So you have an embassy in a country. If you're at war with a country, you're still not necessarily going to destroy the embassy. You have to play your cards the right way. You don't want to burn your bridges. War is extremely complicated. So we would think that it would not be politically correct to kill her and to kill all these dignitaries who are here with her. But it's not going to work. They're all going to be wiped out. Pasuk Zayin. Now what's going to happen next? The Omad Minetzer Shoroshecha Kano. She's going to have a child. That's according to the Mitzudos. So to have a child, it will stand. Minetzer, Minetzer means the branch of her roots, a base. Kano means a base. Minetzer means a branch. Shorosheha, her roots. It will emerge from her roots, a foundation. V'yavo el hachayil, and it will come to the army. V'yavo b'ma'oz, and will come to the ma'oz. Ma'oz means the stronghold. We'll translate the words again, and we'll read the mitzvot. And this army will come to the fortress of Melech HaTzafon. V'osa v'hem, will do wondrous things at this fortress. V'hechazik, and will take control. So basically what this pasuk is saying is, over time, things will turn around. The south will rise again. Exactly. Let's see the Mitzudos. Zayin. V'yomad. V'yachar zeh. After this terrible defeat, when she is killed, min onof haba mishoreshecha al kanoi shalaviyah. What does that mean? A branch from the roots will stand a base, a foundation, Ratzal Amar, Echad mibnei bas hamelech hanegev, one of the descendants, one of the children of the daughter of the king of the south, which was married to the north. She had a child with him. Melech hanegev yeshev al kisei hamalchus shel avia, will take over the malchus. Eventually, Talmai, the first Talmai, will die, will be replaced by, I don't know all the names, and it's very complicated. Who is who? There are many different opinions how to read history into these psukim. But basically, this there will arise a new king that will be a descendant from the south, El HaChayil, and then this new king will go to war against the north. El HaChayil, the army, will wage a battle against the army of the Melech HaTzafon, Bima'oz, and will come to the fortified city, Antioch. Antioch was the capital of the Syrian Greeks, Biari HaMivtzar, the Asabahem Kichevtso, and will do there whatever. There'll be a massacre. They'll wipe out in revenge of all the tsarists that they've caused the south. But now the south will prevail. The hechazik yachazik v'yoyches bohem v'yich b'shem will conquer them. Okay, so basically, Pasuk Zayin on a very simple level. Let's see Rashi.
By the way, the word kano appears in the parsha this week.
Yeah,
Sar Hamashkim. He was returned
El Kano.
To his original
something like that.
Position of authority.
Post, yes.
Position of authority. Okay, let's see Rashi Pasuk Zayin. V'yomen amenitzer shoshecha ben yeshev al kanoi b'kiseh hamelucha. There will be a child from this woman or from this family that will become the king of this, the Egyptian Greeks. V'yavei l'chayel l'melech ha'safon b'moz b'melech ha'fsoi k'lemar b'ari ma'uzo b'mevsarov v'yos b'chem ha'v'yitzlich b'chem v'yechzik v'yichbash a'isam. Okay, come out the same thing as the Mesudas done. So let's read the Pasuk again one more time. Pasuk Zayin. So what's going to happen? At this point in time, the one that is in control is the north. The north has prevailed. They have conquered the south. But there will be a new king in the south. And from the ashes will rise a new king and will come and conquer the Syrian Greeks, and will stand from the root, from a branch from the roots of Kano, of the foundation, the Malchus of the south, and this king will lead an army to the north, to the Chayil, to the army, to the military forces of the north, will siege, lay siege to the fortress of the north, to Antioch, Melech HaTzafon, the Os of Ahem, and will do whatever they wish, the Hechazik, and will prevail. Pasuk Ches. The Gam, not only will they prevail, not only will they take control, they will destroy their gods. In those days, that was the ultimate humiliation when you conquer a country and you make leitzanis of the gods of that country. That shows not only have we conquered you, we're conquering your religion. It's very interesting is that obviously there was a different type of religion for the Syrian Greeks and the Egyptian Greeks. You would think that the Yavanim at this period of time, everyone had one type of god or whatever the system of gods. But over here it appears that the Syrian Greeks, they all come from Alexander, Macedonia. They had a different religion. The Syrian Greeks had a different religion than the Egyptian Greeks. And when the Egyptian Greeks prevailed and conquered the north, they destroyed their gods.
Probably because they came from Greece, and then things get mixed into the local...
The local culture. So it evolved. Pasiches. V'gam Elohim. Let's see. V'gam Elohim. Also their gods. Im Nisichehem. Nisichehem means their princes. Okay, doesn't mean you would be inclined to say it means the wine offerings. That's not what it means here. It means Nisichehem. That's what it means here. It means here the princes. They will sack their gods, the gods of the north, and the Sikhehem and the princes, im kilei chemdosam, together with their delightful utensils, chemda, very prominent word in Sefer Daniel, Danielish chamudos, kesef vizav bashviyavi mitzroim. This is critical because a lot of the things in these psukim are extremely vague. And that's why there are so many different approaches to understand, to read, to superimpose history upon these psukim. But one very critical pasuk which puts everyone in place, which limits everyone's creativity, and what this is referring to is where it says the word Mitzrayim. It makes it clear as day, because it says the south and north. When you say the south and north, maybe it's referring to America, referring to the Civil War, General Grant, maybe that's what we're referring to over here, Abraham Lincoln, right? Who says, maybe that's what Daniel's referring to America, foundation for coming of Mashiach. Well, here it says Mitzrayim. Okay, so when it says here that the southern, it says the south, and now it says it will gam Elohim im nisichehem im klechem dasam kesev v'zohav bashri yavi will bring bashri to Mitzrayim. So from the context, it's pretty clear that we're dealing with the Egyptian Greeks, which is true to history. The Egyptian Greeks will sack the north. So who shonim yamoid? And it says here that this Malchus will last, the Malchus of the Egyptian Greeks. Now this is a long-term prediction according to most of the Mepharshim. It's telling us right now they're very young. Greece at this point in time, we're way, way before the Hanukkah miracle. We're way before Antiochus the Fourth. There's a ton of stuff that's going on, that's going to happen until we get to the Hanukkah miracle. When you read all of these beautiful books that tell us about the history of Hanukkah, when they want to put Hanukkah in historical context, and they start with the building of the Bayis Sheni, they all start from the very beginning, they grunt through this period almost in one chapter, and then they come all of a sudden, you find yourselves by Antiochus the Fourth. And they go into great detail about what was going on, Antiochus the Fourth, and a little bit about Talmai. But until you get to that period of time, you're going through at least 100 years. And there's enormous detail of history that it's taking place.
Isn't there a long string of Ptolemies?
Yes, yes, yes. That's all Paul was discussing here. There are like seven or eight of them. And each one has a long history. And a lot of what we're learning here in this parak is the details that come way before the miracle of Hanukkah, which begs us to ask, so why do we need to know this? It's a very difficult question. Every country, you go take a course, every country has a history that goes on and on, on the encyclopedias in every country in their history. So what?
I mean, we know that... then the Hanukkah story has to do with the Syrian Greeks, and
so it all builds up.
How did it get there?
Obviously that's the answer, but how the details they play out and what we extract, it's not clear. There's still a lot of big questions. But here it says here, Husham Yamun, these last words, Husham Yamun Mimelech HaTzafon, this tells a long period. Right now they're very young. These two nations, the Syrian Greeks and the Egyptian Greeks, are in their youth. They're going to be around for a very long period of time. And the Pasuk here is telling us at this point in time that this is a changing point which will have long-term ramifications. The Egyptian Greeks will outlive the Syrian Greeks by many, many decades, maybe even centuries. I mean, even though they were not, Rome became prominent, but the Syrian Greeks dissolved much earlier in history than the Egyptian Greeks. And that's what it's telling us over here, and that change where things were put into motion, that this would happen, where the Egyptian Greeks would dominate long after the Syrian Greeks are gone, is at this point in time after this war. After the war, at the death of the daughter of the southern king, and when the north took control, and then there arose a new king in Egypt, the Egyptian Syrians rose once again and they dominated. That domination will last for a long period of time. Let's see the mitzvah of Pasachas. Pasachas Elohim, what is Elohim? Havaris Kochavim, Vahu Melech HaNegev HaKadosh, the new king of the south. Shonim Rabos Yamoid Bimolucho Yoiser Mima Sheyamoid Melech HaTzofon. Okay, let's go now to Pasuk Tes. Uba B'Malchus Melech HaNegev V'shav El Admoso. Now what does this mean? Pasuk Tes in the Mitzudos. A lot of words are being added into this Pesukim. Rotzolaymar. As we always say, whenever the Mitzudos says Rotzolaymar, it means watch out. I'm going to pull something over you now. I'm going to add Pasuk Tes. Perik Yud Aleph Pasuk Tes. Rotzolaymar. Sheyavoy B'malas Melucha Melech HaNegev Avi Imo. He will come B'malas Malchus Melech HaNegev. This Pasuk means that this new king of the south will have the same stature as his grandfather. Because in the very beginning, as you remember, the Egyptian kings were first to dominate. After Alexander the Great died, and the Malchus was split between the four kingdoms, and the two major of four kingdoms of the four were the Egyptian Greeks and the Syrian Greeks, the first one to dominate was the Egyptian Greeks.
Right.
But then there was a very significant period of time where they were on the verge of extinction. They were wiped out by the north. The north came to power when the north led an army into the south and wiped them out. There was almost nothing left. But then suddenly, that was the previous pasuk, will come rise from the ashes a new king of the south and will restore power, will restore law and order to the country, and will then go and conquer the north. And now the pasuk says the stature, the rebirth, the renaissance of the Egyptian Greeks will equal in stature to what it was in the good old days after the death of Alexander the Great. So Baba Malchus, this king that we've said now that will last for Shonim Yamoid, will come, will rise the Malchus in stature as a king, Melech HaNegev, this Melech HaNegev, equal, adding in words now, equal to the stature of his predecessors, the first king, the first Talmai of Egypt. V'shav El Admoso, and then will, after he conducts these wars all over the world, and conquers the north and conquers other regions, he will finally feel accomplished and settled. I've done my thing. I'm now going to come back home and live out my days in peace in the south, and he will return. One more time, the Mitzudos. The father is mother, Lios Malchusai Gidoyla. Equal in stature, Kamosha Hay Malchus Avi Imai. The Shevel Almas will return home. After he will acquire the honor of success in war, Lo Yam would be Eretz Safon. He's not going to stay there forever. Ki Yashul Ad Masai El Eretz Hanegev. He will return home. Let's see what it says here in Rashi. Rashi Pasuk Tes. Buba B'Malchus Melech Hanegev Derech Malchus Melech Hanegev Shi'i Avi Avia. It will be the same derech of Malchus. Yashiv Lad Mosav Hu Mitzrayim Kumosh Nemar. He's going to say the same thing that the Mitzvah says. He will return back home. Let's do Pasuk Yud.
Is this child the son of Bas Hamelech?
It appears so. There are different opinions. See, if you study the historical accounts, not necessarily. If you study the Pasuk in a very vague way, that's what it seems to be saying. Because basically, all we're having are a bunch of civil wars. They're really two different nations at this point in time. The Syrian Greeks and the Egyptian Greeks are fighting against one another, and at different points in time, one prevails. Let's see one more pasuk. Pasuk Yud. Uvanav Yiskaru. And then what's going to happen is his children will quarrel. Now, this refers simply to the children of the north. That's how the Mitzudos, another war, will break out. Uvanov, the children of the north are not going to take this sitting down. They're not going to be happy that they have been conquered. So the children of the king of the north, Yiskaru, will be agitated and they will quarrel. They will quarrel with the south. The Asfu Hamon Chayolim Rabim, and they will gather an enormous, large army of soldiers, large army. Uvovo. And they will go forward to conquer, to attack the south. The Shatafa Ovar, and they will flow through the south like a river.
Overwhelm
them. Shatav is the flood. The Ovar will pass. The Yashov, and then they will return. They will, the Yashov means they will return again. They will go back home. They will retreat, and then go. They will retreat, but then once again fight on again, return to the battlefield. The Yisgoreh, and they will quarrel, they will lay siege, they will attack, ad ma'uzo, until the fortress of the south. Another war, pasuk tes. And look in the Mitzudos David. Uva, ratzalaymar, pasuk yud, uva naf, who are the banaf? Again, everything is subject to interpretation, and we're just going to read according to the Mitzudos. B'nei melech ha-tzafon, yiskaru melchama im melech ha-negev, uva bo, v'yavo bia, v'choizer hu al ha-hamoin, and will return together in a state of commotion with an army, which hamon means a noise, which makes a lot of noise. The shotaf avar yavar b'merutza k'shetef mayim, will flow through the land like a river. Al pnei eretz hanegev, will attack and will enter the south. They'll march into the south. The yoshov achar zeh yoshov v'yiskorei milchaman. After they enter, they will return like in the past to wage war. Ad muzohu mifsar ir hamalucha, until they come up against the capital of the south, Alexander. I think the capital of the south was Alexander. Alexander Shal Mitzrayim was one of the capital, was one of the major cities in the south. Okay, let's see. Of the south. Okay, let's see. Of Rashi. Rashi. Bonav Shlomel Chatzafon Yiskaru Vavo Kumay Vaholech Holech Beno Shlomel Chatzafon Yavay Bavshel Vavar Mel Eretz Hanegev Yoshev Yiskaru Bemelech Hanegev Ad Muzo. You're sort of saying the exact thing as Mitzvot. Let's just do one more pasuk. I know I told you, but I want to just finish this theme. And what's going to happen when they wage war? Pasuk Yud Aleph. The Yismamar Melech Hanegev. He will fight bitterly. Bitterness. Melech HaNegev, the Yatzah, he will come out to greet this army from the north. The Nilcham Imo in Melech HaTzafon, the Hamid Hamon Rav, and he will establish, he will assemble a very large army. Hamon means a multitude, a very large. V'nitan he-hamon b'yado, and the hamon, he will win, he will prevail. Pasuk Yud Aleph in the Mitzudas David. V'yismamar yis'achzor b'mrius rav. He will fight a battle, a very treacherous battle, with bitterness and cruelty. V'nilchaimo v'choyzim afarish melech hatzafon. Ruthless battle, the Hamid Melech HaTzafon biyado, biyad, and he will be given over into the hands of the Melech HaNegev. So at this point in time, the one who wins is the south once again wins again. So basically, one more time, let's read the pasuk one more time. Yud Aleph, Yismamar Melech, when he's attacked, when the Melech HaNegev is attacked by the north, Yismamar Melech HaNegev, the Melech HaNegev will fight a ferocious battle. The Yotzav Nilchamimo Melech HaTzafon, the Hamid Hamon Rav, Nitan Hamon Biyado. Who's Hamon? The Hamon of the north will be delivered into the hands of the king of the south. Okay, so up to Pasuk Gimel, we're going to stop here. So basically what we've done over here today is from Pasuk Gimel to Pasuk Yud Beis, just a series of wars. That's all it is.
What's the purpose of those?
I don't know. That's what I'm telling you. That's what I said from the very beginning. I do not know. What?
Again, I still don't get why. The meal, as you said, is not considered a novi.
Correct.
You mentioned this.
Correct. Part. Ruach HaKodesh.
But this is not Ruach HaKodesh type stuff.
That's the difficulty. What's the difference between prophecy, Nevuah, and Ruach HaKodesh?
Yeah, it doesn't sound like
it could be that Nevuah is where there's a message to deliver. There's no message. This is just a vision. This is a vision to see what's taking place, what will happen in the end of days. And there's something to learn from. What is there to learn from? We do not know. Like I learned the Pesukim, I just read it, I read the Mitzvot, read Rashi. The Mitzvot and Rashi are not giving us names. If you take out, I highly recommend that you study the Art Scroll Daniel by Rav Hirsch Goldworm, and he has there a lot of detail, a lot of names. He basically takes the approach of the Abarbanel and the Malbim, which have studied history, the known history of this period of time, and they have superimposed all of those events into these psukim. That is with one approach. It appears, if you take out the Das Mikra and other Mepharshim, there are many, many more approaches, and it's not clear. The psukim are extremely vague. The gist basically is that there are a series of wars between the Egyptian Greeks and the Syrian Greeks, and this will continue for about 100 years until we get to the time of Chanukah miracle, Antiochus IV, when things become relevant for us. Why is it presented? It's not clear. Every country in the world, you can present their history and discuss the details. But for whatever reason, this is being discussed here in great detail. Okay, let's stop here. So again, we have to remember that we're up to Pasuk Yud Beis. We're up to Pasuk Yud Beis.